B-Pod Studios.
Hey, y'all. Mike Missanelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missanelli show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly, where Haiti's the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. All competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock ya.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. I am still stunned from last night's event. I was at the game last night. I felt the excitement of the crowd. I'm looking at the scoreboard after the game, and I go, they won that game? All game long, it was like a taffy pull. It was like they were climbing uphill. They could never get control of this team. And I'm going, it's the same old thing with this Boston team. I'm sick of it. They can never get control of this Boston team. I mean, no matter what Boston does, it seems to be they seem to have the comfort zone over the Sixers. And then it's the fourth quarter, and it's 99-90, and I'm going, here we go again. There's no way they can win this game. And all of a sudden, the game turns. I guess it turned because Boston could not keep up that pace of shooting. They shot very well in the first half, whether it was the Sixers' defense or whether it was not. Kyrie Irving was on fire. A lot of guys were making shots. The game turned probably with Marcus Smart doing the stupid thing that he did. But I'm looking at the play-by-play now, because when you're at the game, you don't relive every shot. You're in the moment, right? And then you go back and you look over the game. There was a point in the game. The Sixers were down by three after Jimmy Butler made the three-pointer. Now, obviously, I don't have to tell you that this fourth quarter thing with Jimmy Butler is, like, amazing. And it seemed like he kind of just, like, waited through the whole game until he could conserve some energy for the fourth quarter. In a way, I like that. In a way, I don't like it. And there were a lot of things about last night's game that I didn't like. But in the fourth quarter, for some reason, this guy is able to rise up and do things that help the Sixers win. He made two monster three-pointers last night, in addition to that one two-pointer that clinches the game. In that whole span, though, he missed a couple of three-pointers. And I'm going, is this going to happen or not? But the moment I'm talking about is after he made the three-pointer, makes it 105-102, Daniel Tice took a shot. And I'm going, as soon as Daniel Tice rises up, he took like a 20-footer. I'm going, that's exactly what you want here. I'll take Daniel Tice shooting that shot at any time. And then they get the rebound and they score off of that. And from that moment on, they were in it. And in the end, you saw what happened. They outlasted the Boston Celtics. There are a lot of things about this game that made my mind dizzy. I'm looking at Ben Simmons the whole game and I'm going, he allows this team to just stop them. And then finally, at the end of the game, because they really, Boston changed their defensive strategy a little bit. Instead of walling Ben off at the top, they dropped down a little bit on Embiid, who was having a monster game, and Marcus Morris was the guy that was defending Ben. And finally, Ben goes, oh, I can beat Marcus Morris off the dribble. And he does. He goes low, and he throws that little bank rim, which was a key shot in the game. And, you know, it's games like this that tell you what this team is capable of. Now, they had to stretch their starters for a long way. And I don't know how many people are looking at this lack of bench production and what it's going to do in the playoffs for them, because they're going to have to play their starters a lot of minutes. Can they last through these long series playing their starters all these minutes? Because when their starters on the floor, they're a really good team. And last night, they proved it. So, like, I'm like still buzzed from being, if you're in that building last night, that game was exhilarating to be in. And it's games like that You know, you get in the playoffs and you're going to have that level of competition. There's nothing better. I've said it. There's nothing better. The Sixers are good. The building is electric like that. They're so close to the court. It's really a great experience last night. And the people that were down there last night know what I'm talking about. And the people that watched it on TV, I have to believe you were as stunned as me that they actually won that game. Because Boston had controlled the game the whole game. And I'm going, when is this going to stop? What do they have to do to beat this team? And all of a sudden, boom, Jimmy Buckets comes through for the Sixers and they win the game. Now, Tyrone, when you watched that game last night, I got down in the fourth quarter. I go, they just can't beat this team. Whatever it is, they can't beat this team.
I kind of always thought they were going to
win. Really? You thought they were always going to win that game?
Yeah, mainly because Joel Embiid was so incredible. Mm-hmm. In the game, throughout the entire game, he had 18 and 11 in the first half, 19 and 11 in the second half, 20 of 21 from the foul line. So what he allowed everybody to do, because I knew there was some tired legs, I knew that Boston could not possibly stay that hot. And I know everyone was afraid of the Celtics, and I get it. But no team can shoot 64% from the field the whole game, and no team can shoot 53% from three the whole game. So I knew they were going to come back. And because Embiid was so great, I assumed somebody would step up. Now, I didn't know Butler was going to do what he did to have 15 points in the fourth quarter. I thought it would be a balanced effort. You get a little bit from Tobias. You get a little bit from JJ. I didn't know JJ was going to stay cold. I didn't know Ben wasn't going to attack. But I honestly did believe the Sixers were going to win that game, mainly because as I look at the stats, there was just no physical way for them to keep shooting like they were. Because otherwise, they'd be the number one seed in East, and they're not.
They made the key plays in the end. The Embiid block of Kyrie Irving, right after Simmons had made that three-point play when he went down there. They went ahead on the Simmons make, and then they allowed who scored?
Was it Rozier?
Rozier might have scored. Jason Tatum may have scored there on a layup to tie, and then the Sixers got control of the game. But, I mean, these two games, they beat Milwaukee and they beat Boston, are really telling for the playoffs, because now you have gained some confidence. You win these games late, and you have better personnel than the other team, and you can make plays to beat the other team. I can't tell you how valuable these last, three games, but the two especially against Milwaukee and Boston are for the Sixers as they go into this playoff situation. They are rolling right now. They believe in each other. There are things we can pick at in this game, but at the end, they beat Boston, and it was a great victory for the Sixers, and hopefully they can keep it going. Now, the NCAA tournament is also going on today, so we'll give you all the updates. Bryce Harper, ladies and gentlemen, has hit his first spring training home run. So there you go. In the first inning, he bangs a two-run homer to give the Phillies the lead. Vince Velasquez is pitching today, and we'll update you on how he's doing. So all kinds of good stuff to talk about today on the Mike Mussinelli Show on a Thursday. But the Sixers game being the biggest. When basketball is good in this town, it's really good. It really is. I mean, that was a great experience last night.
It absolutely was. Now, it's incredible, actually. Not even the Eagles can top what happened last night, just the way that the game flows and everything. Now, I want to bring up one guy real fast.
Uh-huh.
Because if he lost these two games, and I hate to be a broken record, he would have got destroyed on this station.
Brett Brown.
He went right. He wins both the games.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of fans thought they were going to split. He won both of them. Isn't today finally, just to give the guy just a little bit of credit, because we know what would have happened if he went 0-2 against those teams. Whether he made adjustments or not, Boston, it looked like he made some adjustments at halftime. They came out. They won the third quarter by six. I think they won the fourth quarter by nine. That's adjustments. Don't you have to give the guy a little credit for that?
Yeah, you have to give the guy some credit. He knew this game was so important that he had to work his starters. And this is off a back-to-back, and he's asked those guys to play close to 40 minutes. And, he had to put faith in those guys, and those guys delivered for him. Now, down the road, you got some easy games. You're going to be able to rest some guys. But, last night, I'm reading the Boston papers, and they're all over the Celtics for blowing it. But let's face it, the Sixers, and this is mainly because of Embiid. This is why, like, I don't want to see him shooting 15 three-pointers. Because last night he decided he's going to get some calls if he bullies them down low. They didn't really have anybody to handle him. Horford usually handles him, but if you bully him, then, and Aaron Baines was out of the game because he had hurt. So all that work to their advantage and the disparity in fouls favored the Sixers. So for the people to say, well, you know, the Sixers are always on the short end of that, they got the benefit of the fouls last night. And Boston doesn't play that way, so they didn't get the benefit of the fouls.
There's a couple shaky calls out there, but yeah.
There's
a couple shaky calls out there.
A couple shaky calls. But it was like, what was it, 36 to 12? Something like that, the disparity in free throws?
It was a big disparity, yeah.
It was a big disparity, but that's because of Embiid and the way he plays. If he decides that he's going to bully him down low, like, he can get a foul call on almost every play. All right, we'll talk about it. You saw the game last night. What does it mean to you for the overall scope of things? We have our knockout giveaway still today, and we'll be talking about the Sixers primarily today on a Thursday. Mike Masinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, and NBC Sports Philadelphia. Here's how you get in. 610-632-0975. What stood out to you last night? We're back after this on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
2 o'clock hour of the Mike Masinelli Show. It's brought to you by Ferguson HVAC Lyon Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors. Just visit Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. It is time to start the Twitter poll, which is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. Attention all landscapers, if you're looking to repower a zero-turn or a walk-behind mower, Moyer has the best deals around for an engine replacement in stock. Visit paulbmoyer.com. For details, Miss Natalie.
Thanks, Mike. With the Sixers beating both the Bucks and the Celtics, do you think they can make it to the finals? Over 300 votes on this early. 80% saying yes, 20% saying no.
80%, 20% saying no, huh?
Yeah.
There's something that 20% I need to talk about today. You need 20%ers I need to talk to you today. Find out what's holding it up. Boston Globe says Marcus Morris. Celtic players thought the crowd celebrating vigorously after the game last night was a little overblown. They got one. It sounded like the Super Bowl when they won, Marcus Morris said. I'm happy they can get a win and be as happy as possible for one game, but we still won the season series. It's about time they got a win. How about Marcus Morris?
Salt.
And he's from here, too.
He is.
With all that salt.
Uh-huh.
And he knows that he played three different versions of this Sixers team. The first one was the old Rocco version.
Mm-hmm.
The Christmas one was the non-Tobias one. Mm-hmm. And then he went 1-1 against the current version. One of the times they didn't even have a practice yet together.
Yeah.
He knows they played this not the same with that season series talk. He knows.
Now, to be fair, they didn't have Gordon Hayward last night.
Yeah, but Sixers were off a back-to-back. They had a day off.
It all evens out.
All evens out.
All right. Let's go to the phones. It's about the people today. Brad in Dixon City. Brad, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Brad?
Hey, nice to talk to you, Mike. I've been listening to you for 3 months now.
Thanks, buddy.
I was last night's game. I thought it was a great win, but everything went the Sixers' way because of like Aaron Bain getting hurt and Marcus Smart. And I feel like in the beginning, the refs were terrible. That technical foul was ridiculous against Embiid. It should have only went one way.
Well, Embiid did elbow him.
He did, but it really, like, that's like nothing. You know what I mean? Compared to what?
Yeah, but when they're looking at the video, they see that. They can't ignore that.
I guess. I just feel like some of the plays and, like, some of the fouls against the Sixers are always, like, a little bit, like, soft. You know?
I don't know, man. I don't think you complained last night. I mean, the disparity in free throws was incredible for the Sixers.
Mm-hmm. But I think the Sixers are getting better on switching on screens, which is a big thing. because like the Celtics are always trying to spread the floor and open up the Sixers' weaknesses, which I think like they always go after like Redick or McConnell, especially down low.
Yes.
So I felt when Aaron Baines got when he got hurt, the mismatches were happening because Embiid, it seems like they tried to take Horford off the floor.
I think he was on a minutes restriction. Aaron Baines got destroyed by Embiid. Yeah, that one player, yeah. he crushed him down low.
Yeah, he was definitely handing him everything, but it seems like, you know, they didn't want Horford in there as much as when Embiid was towards the end. So until they had to play him. So I just saw a lot of like different things that I thought looked really well, you know, except for like, I always think, like you say, I think Simmons should just always attack the basket and just put it down.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing I was kind of like squawking about. All game long, I'm going, bam, 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 bam. I mean, go to the basket, Ben. Go to the basket. And he did it finally in the end. Because then I was saying, all right, he's used to them walling him off, and he's expecting it, and he's stopping. But then it was just Marcus Morris meet him at the top. And I'm going, dude, take him. Oliver, Jersey, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Oliver.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
What's up, Oliver?
Good. I have a few points I want to bring up about the Sixers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I have a few. First of all, to me, one game doesn't mean a lot versus the Celtics, but the bigger part is the confidence and the momentum it gives us versus the Celtics in case of a playoff matchup. Now, I also want to bring up a couple other points. Number one is that, you know, everyone talks about how we played a great game last night and we barely beat the Celtics. That's not true. Tobias Harris, Jimmy Butler, and J.J. Redick both missed a combined 30 shots. That doesn't happen on an average night. And Rozier doesn't have 20 points. Now, Gordon Hayward missing, you know what? That's probably a good thing for them. He sucks. Now, also, another very important
point. No, he didn't suck last time they played.
Yeah, he had a big game, 26 points last game, but you know what? He doesn't usually. Now, Embiid had 28 of his 37 points with Horford on the floor. I counted. I went to the play-by-play and I counted. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to hear that Horford died. Now, Horford 1-on-1 does play very well against Embiid, but it doesn't work like that. There's switches. There's ways to get Embiid mismatched onto Horford. Now, he played calm, he played collected, and he played unbelievable. I think we have a guy who's 7+ feet tall, 300 pounds, can shoot the three. Once he gets the ball on the block, I mean, it's over. So I think we're going to the finals.
All right, brother. I like what I'm hearing from you. Very confident.
Thanks.
You finally busted up that Horford domination. All right, they shot 90% from a free throw line last night. 39-43. It doesn't happen very often.
No.
But 39 look, extra points in the free throw line.
No, that's true, but look what they shot from the field. That doesn't happen often with this team
33%?
Either. Yeah.
They're 37%.
37%. They were 33 at the half. They shot a little better in the second half. That also doesn't happen much. So I think if they play that team in a playoff series, if it comes to that, Boston's in a lot of trouble.
I'm watching the game. I didn't realize Embiid had 37-22. They were like quiet 37-22, wasn't it?
Not on TV.
No.
At one point, he scored in the first half. He scored 11 straight. And in the third quarter, at one point, he scored 15 of 17 in a burst.
Steve in South Jersey. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Steve.
Hey, Mikey. How you guys doing?
What's up, Stevie?
Hey, I just want to make a couple points about last night's game, Mike. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, with the trade and everything, I called you like right about the time they were making all them moves. And I think Brown is definitely deserves credit because I do think he's making substitutions a little better than he did if we go back a month or two ago, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Like guys like Ennis, you know, the minutes he's in there, he does make a difference. You know, I mean, if you play him the right way and he's cut down on DJ a little bit, which is good. But my biggest thing is I like what they do after the second half. It seems like they get the defense becomes a lot better. And my biggest thing is all the stuff that we hear through listening to you, and I listen to you every day, how they always go some way or another about Butler. Let me tell you something. For all these people, they just need to go back to the last three games. What this guy does in the fourth quarter, I'll take that over anything because – He makes a difference out there. He loves the spotlight.
Yeah, he does. It's funny because he can disappear, and it's frustrating when he disappears. But I guess he knows his own body and knows his own game and knows what to do. He did get 17 shots up last night, and I'm looking at him going, where is he? You know, there are times you wonder where he is in a game.
Yeah, you're right. But that fourth quarter, he shows up like nobody. And if you look at the whole starting five, I mean, what are they averaging, like 17 points or something like that, all five of them?
There's some amazing statistics on their starting five. Across 135 minutes, they have outscored their opponents with starters on the court by 63 points. So on a per-possession basis, they're outscoring opponents by 19 points per 100 possessions.
How many other teams could say that, Mike?
Nobody. Nobody can say that. It's the best in the league right there.
And last but not least, you know what I noticed between Milwaukee and this game? Something from the first quarter to the end of the game, behind or not, they didn't give up. And yeah, JJ might have had a couple bad misses or this one, but guess what? If they had been nights where them guys were on, they would have blew them out.
Yeah, well, I agree, man. Everybody's excited. Everybody, they're ball matter, but they're going to the finals. I like it.
You know, it's funny, though. On Friday, it was, I don't know. They can't beat the Bucks. The Celtics going to beat them.
The Celtics and Milwaukee Bucks. With a game thrown in there where, without Embiid, they stretched out their minutes. They came back on a back-to-back. They put two of them played over 40 minutes last night. 37-37. Redick played 32 minutes. You know, I think they saw the value of winning that game. Now, the downside of that, you look at Boston's bench. And Boston gets a lot of kind of, they bring Jaylen Brown off the bench. They bring Rozier off the bench. They bring Gordon Hayward off the bench. You know, that's significant. The Sixers, you know, they're getting away with this without significant contributions to their bench. And the only question is, can they do that in the playoffs?
I think they definitely can because there's no back-to-backs in the playoffs. In fact, in the early rounds, a lot of times you get 2 days off. And they're all going to play, other than maybe JJ, you're looking at 38 plus each game anyway from those guys. That's what Butler played 42 the last time he's in the playoffs. Simmons is going to be a 40-minute player.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's, I think if I had to choose, I want the starting lineup. Give me those guys because the odds of those five, not all five of those guys,
I hope you're right, man. Because the only guys they can use off their bench really are Scott and Ennis, and then TJ mixing in some minutes to spell Ben.
Shake Milton should be up here, by the way.
Shake Milton
should be up here.
Yeah,
he should be up here.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know why Jonathan Simmons can't get some minutes on this team.
His offense is so bad.
He'll eat up some minutes. He's a competent NBA player who can eat up some minutes. Right now, they have two guys that can eat up minutes off the bench.
Right. Now, my counter to, though, the Warriors, when they won a title, they had guys who are literally out of the league now coming off that bench mixed in.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes guys surprise you. The question is, could it Ennis, in a pinch, make a couple open threes in a playoff game? I actually think he could.
Well, he's shown that he can.
And Mike Scott,
last night,
too.
Last night, he wasn't involved, but, you know, he ate up some minutes. Sometimes you need, it's like a pitcher, innings eaters. You need minutes eaters off your bench.
And I think Mike Scott could be a minutes eater for them in the playoffs, too.
All right, Tommy and Broomall, you're a 97.5 Fanatic. Tommy.
How's it going, Mike Tyrone?
What's up, Tommy? How you doing, buddy?
Oh, I'm great. I can't complain after a win like yesterday. That was incredible.
Yes.
I mean, definitely there was a lot of emotion going into it. There was a few times where I was pulling my hair. I think it was the third quarter where, who was it? Tobias Harris was about to chuck up a three, and then he ends up dumping off to Ben Simmons, who was crashing, didn't even see him. I think threw it off his back and turned it over.
Yeah.
I think that was, oh, my God. Then after that,
I was pulling out my hair the whole game. I got to be honest with you. There are some things that they got the ball. Ben's got the ball low, and I'm going, all right, stronger, go up. And he passes, flips it out to the corner. I think they wound up getting a three out of that, but it was like, go to the basket. You know, you're right there. Go, power to the basket.
Exactly. Be a man. Take it to the hole. That's it. But another play that was incredible for me, Jimmy Butler, it's incredible how high this guy's basketball IQ is. I mean, he's already hot. He's starting to get real hot in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see that they're double-teaming him out around the three, I think. Tobias Harris goes and sets the screen. And wide open on the roll, Jimmy Butler, completely unselfish, dishes it right in for a easy lay-in or dunk. I forget what it was.
Yeah.
I loved it. I absolutely mm-hmm. loved it. And I have to put a lot of credit to Brett Brown, because this team, when they're all 7-1, now, one loss was to Boston, I think, by three.
Mm-hmm.
So, Brett Brown, he's putting this team together with less than half a season, and he's going to make a run to the finals. Like, not a doubt in my mind, we're going to beat whoever it is in the Eastern Conference Finals. We're going to beat them. Now, the bench depth, that's going to be a big struggle when it comes to the finals. I mean, seven-game series, the best team always wins. The best team isn't 1-5. It's 1-8, 1-9 sometimes.
I got you, brother. So, all right,
I think we're going to be able to kill it.
All right. Cool. I like it. Ken and Camden. Cam, you're a 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Ken?
All right, bro. First of all, let me come in here and spit some real knowledge, man.
Mm-hmm. Like,
y'all got to stop paying attention to the elephants and pay attention to the ants. All right? We got to pay attention to the fact that we're playing our best, and we're still only beating them by three. The starters are what's winning these games, not Brett Brown. Brett Brown was coaching. He was coaching when Embiid was not on the floor. When the starters are on the floor, our athletes are better than their athletes. That's just the way it is. Our athletes are better than the Celtics. Our athletes are better than the Bucks. When it comes down to the last 2 minutes of the game, when you see our athletes are struggling and Jimmy Butler standing up there by himself, there is no back movement. If he would have missed that shot, there's nobody there to get the rebound. I mean, our coaching needs to be better in the clutch points of the game.
Players win games, bro. Players win games.
Players win games, but he needs to do a better job of the back-end coaching of the movement. When Ben Simmons is left alone at the top of the key, there is no pick being called because everybody knows he ain't going to shoot. So you got to give him a reason to drive. If you're not calling plays for him to drive from the top of the key, we're just waiting on a bum pass. That's all they're going to wait on.
All right. I agree with that. I think they need to get a situation like that when he's got the ball at the top. There's no reason why he shouldn't be able to get to the basket either by pick or by beating this guy just off
those
the dribble.
Those little details is what's going to cost us championships. Right now, you can feel great about yourself. That's an emotional win, but it's an emotional regular season game seven of the
first are you a Sixer fan who's like going through this angst that they can't win it, or like what are you?
No, absolutely not. I believe 100% in this team.
Okay.
But I see a different team when Brett Brown is coaching bums than when Brett Brown is coaching five-star starters. When he's coaching five-star starters, it's like he's quiet. It's like he don't really know what to do. When he's coaching bumps, he's in their face. He's telling them where to go. He's telling them what to do. When our starters are on the
So you still, after these two new victories over Milwaukee, over Boston, you're still anti-Brett?
I'm not anti-Brett.
Yeah, you sound
I'm
it.
I'm anti the way Brett is handling these situations. You see how emotional Embiid is with Butler at the end of the game?
Uh-huh.
Same because Brett Brown is saying, what's up? That's because Jimmy Butler said, yo, what's up? We need to be doing better.
That's what players do. They decide games. When Michael Jordan's making last-second shots to make the Bulls win, where are they going? They're looking at the coaches that forced that? No, they're looking at Michael Jordan. He forced it. He forced the win by making plays. That's what NBA players do. They make plays.
I don't understand.
Butler made plays last night.
What does he want him to do?
I don't know.
Go it's over like, to Brett Brown and hug Brett Brown after the Butler makes a big shot.
People have this college mentality with the NBA. You could design a play where you can free a guy for a layup and stuff because the other team's not athletic enough. But in the NBA, everybody's athletic, so the player's got to make plays in the end. You can only set up so much.
Yeah, he acted like it was a negative. Our athletes are better than theirs. That's why you put together a good team. Why do you think the Warriors win? Because they're better than the other team.
Yep.
It's not because of Kerr. Not just because of Kerr. It's because the team's good.
Yeah, I'm not going to complain at all today. I can't complain. They beat Milwaukee. They beat Charlotte. And last night, a monster win at home against Boston. I can't complain about the way things are going on. I mean, I have my little nitpicking things that happen. Or I think Butler disappears for a while. I think Ben Simmons gets a little timid. Doesn't go to the basket like he should. That's a little thing. And they win the game. I go, all right. I mean, they won the game. You know, I can't pick on anything at this point. Let's go to Rich in Delaware. Rich, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Rich.
Hey, Mike, what's up? First time calling in.
Thanks,
hey,
Rich.
Hey, my biggest thing is Mike Scott needs to make better shot selections when he's in the game. He's shooting these off balance threes with 20 seconds left on the shot clock, and it just drives me up a wall.
He's made a great number of 3-point shots for his ability to make threes. I he's really not that good of a 3-point shooter, and he's made some. So I hear, but he's got to take them. He's the only guy off the bench who can actually give them some points.
Yeah, but I mean, well, last night he was doing it with getting a pass from Tobias or Embiid, and he's doing it. And
yeah, he gets a little happy on the farm with the three ball, but he has earned that right because he has made a lot of them, and he's got a lot of confidence in shooting it now. So I don't mind that.
And my other thing is, can we stop with the? We didn't get Boston's best. It doesn't matter. Boston last year beat us with their bench, and that's not the case now. I mean, yeah.
Well, they don't have any answer for Rozier. Yeah, I mean, that son of a gun plays his ass off. Hey, I love him, man. He is a player.
But my thing is, like, our bench, if something's got to be done, like a rotation, or the only way we're going to win in the playoffs is if the starting five throw up 112 between the five of them, and then the bench is only going to give you.
I agree. I mean, and that's the million-dollar question. Can the Sixers survive by stretching their starters and only going seven deep, really, to at least get to the NBA Finals?
I think they can. It's just we need, you know, I don't know. Brett's got to keep playing with the rotation and the playoff rotation with eight or nine guys going here on out just to see what they can give them.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I just don't know what else they can do. Because, I mean, I think any team we face in the playoffs, we're going to get outscored by their bench no matter what.
I hear you. All right, bro.
Thanks, man.
You got it. All right. By the way, your Phillies update. Phillies pounding the Blue Jays today. So we're not going to see any retribution. This is not a retribution day because they're pounding them.
Well, it should be. That's more of a reason to have a retribution day.
It is. You got a cushion.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see if that happens. The Phillies had put 8 runs on the board with a lot of bombs today. Harper in the first inning, McCutchen with a 2-run home run, or is it a 3-run home run? 2-run home run, and then Knapp with a bomb, and they're currently up 8-5. Velasquez has given up another home run.
Wow.
So that's the downside. There it is. It's 8-3 right now.
All right.
And Velasquez has given up 2 bombs.
And how many innings?
Three.
Let's check. 3 innings?
I think we're in the third.
That's all. Well, they must have had a big inning.
Yeah.
Yeah. I need Velasquez.
Velasquez, 3 1/3, 5 hits, 3 runs, 3 walks, 9 strikeouts.
So if you can get the 9 strikeouts.
Wow. 9 strikeouts and 3 1/3, but he's attacking the zone because he's giving up 2 home runs.
Well, the walks I'm talking about. Like, he's my least favorite player.
Yeah, he's not reliable.
He's erratic.
He's probably my least favorite player since Brian Skinner.
Knapp in a pinch hit roll with the 3-run bomb.
Huh. Oh, look at that.
How about that? And Scotty Jetpacks with 2 for 2 today, 2 runs scored.
Jetpacks?
Jetpacks making a run.
They don't call him Jetpacks for nothing.
There you go. Anyone from first to third want to play?
Yeah, that was on the...
Harper home run?
No, it was... Realmuto. No.
3 home runs for your fightings.
There you go.
All right. 610-632-0975. A Realmuto just hit a home run? My God, they're pounding the ball today in Clearwater. This guy, Gavilio, gave up 7 hits and 8 runs and 3 1/3 for Toronto. No need to hit anybody today. Just pound the apple. We're back after this on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
8:46. Mike Mussinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyron, you had to go to the game from here last night, right?
Yeah.
All right. Was it trouble you getting in a lot?
Yeah.
All right.
Every time.
Did you experience this woman who was at the Comcast canopy on Broad Street to get in? There was a woman guard there who, like, tore me a new ear hole.
Why?
I have no idea. She was like police action. Like, I want to know if anybody had an experience with this woman, because she was yelling at everybody. Now, when you come in there, normally, like, people go into one lane because they don't know there's three lanes or four lanes to get in. So yeah. I go on the outside lane to try to get in, and she halts me. And they got two gates that are blocking the and she starts yelling and screaming at me. All right, you shut that new car right now. You put your brakes on. You're rolling. You stop. And she's yelling at me. I'm going, I thought the two lanes were open. I'm sorry. I'm waving people through and you're trying to get in. And I showed her my pass. And go, I don't care what your pass says. That's how I get in.
She
was going crazy on me. She goes, now, do you understand me? She's gone.
I feel like sometimes the people in those positions just like to throw their power around for that moment.
I told you to stop the car. Now, do you understand me? I'm looking at her like, seriously? Like, what? And I'm glaring at her. Like, I didn't say anything. I'm glaring at her. Do you understand me? And I'm not answering. I'm just glaring at her. I go, do I want to cause a scene here with this woman? She goes, I don't care if you take my name or not.
Well, that's probably what made her more mad, is that you were just glaring at her and that you weren't abiding by her rules.
Anybody had problems with this woman last night?
No, I wouldn't.
Because if they did, this woman needs to be removed from that position. She was, like, out of control, Gestapo tactic. And people are just trying to get into the lot.
And it's tough to get in, so she should understand.
Terrible to get in
there.
It's very
hard.
They closed the two outside lanes to get in. There are four lanes to get into that Comcast canopy side on Broad Street.
Yeah.
To get through the gates. And they had two of them closed with a gate for some reason. And there was another guy there, and he was a younger guy. And I looked at him. I go, what's up with her? And he just, like, shook his head. So I don't know who this woman was or whether anybody had problems with this woman last night getting into that place from Broad Street.
Yeah, I go into one further down, like I do a loop around and go in down there, and then I show my pass, and they've been good to me.
Uh-huh.
It's just impossible getting there. Although,
it's impossible to get in there smoothly and quickly.
Yeah.
So, like, everybody's trying to get in quickly. So I know that, like, most people don't know that there are four lanes. So they pile up into two lanes to get in. So I was using the outside lane. All right, the third lane is open. Mm-hmm. People don't know the third lane's open. And all of a sudden, she put the halt sign up for me.
Why slow down traffic?
I don't know, but I couldn't have been the first one to have a problem with this lady last night, because she was out of control, yelling and screaming at people.
Maybe she's an angry listener.
No, she didn't know who I was.
I know, I'm kidding.
She had no idea. It was somebody else trying to get in the lot. She was exerting her power not to have them go in the lot.
Right. Because
they weren't for some reason, they weren't waving cars into that lot. They were waving them on. And you can still get in the lot. There's plenty of opportunities to get through there and park.
Yeah, because I got in late, because obviously leaving here, and I still found there were still spots available, so just let the people in.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on there last night, but normally I would yell back at her, and I just looked at her like she was an alien. And then I just gave her one of those, ugly looks and didn't answer. That frustrated her more.
You should have smiled at her.
Did you hear what I said to you? She says to me. And I'm just looking at her like, snarl. And I wouldn't answer. And she wouldn't let me through until I answer.
Wow.
Anyway, let's go to John and Ben Salem. John, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, John?
That sounds like a nun in grade school.
I'm telling you, this lady was at the top of her police work.
I got a question. My wife was up at the casino yesterday. I heard you guys talking about the Celtics, so I get her to put $50 on the game.
Uh-huh.
And the ticket says $95. But
yeah.
I get up this morning. I went to bed the third quarter. I just think this game sucks. So I get up this morning.
No, dude, you didn't hang with that game last night? Oh.
Too many adult beverages early in the day, so I had a cold.
Okay, all right.
But I go get the ticket up this morning. I take it up there. They told me it's a push because it was they won by three.
Yep. Yeah, it was three. Line was three.
I've been better off just taking them with no points.
You should have bet the money line. You know, you play with the points, they burn you sometimes.
This is my first bet and probably last.
Love it. See, I don't mess with the points anymore. Two, you know, these backdoor covers in the NBA, a couple free throws, it screws you up. I go money line. I go whoever's going to win. I thought the Sixers were going to win last night. I didn't bet the game last night, but had I bet the game, I would have gone heavy on the money line with the Sixers.
What would that have paid?
I don't know. What was the money line? I don't know what the money line was last night. I didn't even look at it.
Yeah.
So it was minus 150. See, I don't live in Tyroneville where you can just pick up your phone and make a bet. You know, I got to go to Sugar House or I got to go to Parks. And, you know, it's too much of an inconvenience for me. I like to get my phone and make a couple bets, but I don't live in Jersey. It's a pain in the butt.
Yeah. Every time I go to Dunkin' Donuts now, I see a lot of these ex-bookies sitting around looking at each other.
Yeah, I got you.
All right, Mike.
All right, brother. You got it. My man got pushed. What do you want me to do?
Yeah, that last second basket really counted.
Tatum made it, right?
Yeah, right.
Tatum made a little bet.
Yeah, because Butler puts him up five, and everybody's good. Mm-hmm. Then they rush down, even though it doesn't matter. They shoot the two, cost the people a bunch of money.
That is correct. That's why I don't mess with the points. Those points are evil.
No, and minus 150 was affordable, too, to lay some on the money line.
Minus 150 is a great bet.
Yeah.
On the Sixers.
Yeah, so that money line was mandatory last
year. Yeah, but I live in Bordentown where I can sit in my living room and make a bet.
I couldn't make a bet, though, because I had to leave straight from here.
You did the Sixers outside. You couldn't even make a bet last night.
My wife did, though. She makes all kinds of bets.
Say you got the wife at home in Jersey making a bet.
Now, let me tell you a bet that she made the other day. She bet first team to 10 points in the Bucks game.
What?
Bet the Sixers and won. I know.
You better put a harness on her.
I told her not to.
That's degenerate city
right
there.
That's what I said to her. She ignored. She brushed me off. I won. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I love that she
Sixers
took
were
that.
First to 10.
I love
so
that.
So she cashed.
You need
bragging.
To pull her out of degenerate city.
I told her.
It's a slippery slope.
It's a David Bowie song, isn't it? Degenerate city. It's suffragette. 610-632. I was making a little quip there, Nat.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a little humor.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it.
It was a play off of the suffragette city.
Okay. Listen, there you go.
I know you're going to be on a cover of a magazine.
Oh,
you
know stop it.
I'm all serious on this.
Got to let Mikey go sometimes with a quip. 610-632-0975. Back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.